Revelation chapter 13. I've been praying a lot about how we're interesting times. Oh yeah? Interesting times, interesting place we find ourselves in Scripture. Certainly in the forefront of what's going on. And we're going to talk about it. You know, the speculations can sidetrack us from truth, and we need to be careful about that. So I just pray, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Lord, we see it happening. And we know that we're right on the edge, we're right on the verge, and the world knows, Lord, and Satan knows that he's on the verge of getting his opportunity, his moment to shine in the sun, Lord, and things are ramping up, and it's at breakneck speed, it seems. It's one thing after another that we're just allowing to happen, Lord. And Lord, our freedoms that we've enjoyed are slowly being taken away, but we need to recognize, Lord, that those that you have set free are free indeed, Lord, to hope in your return and to call your church home. So just remind us of that tonight as we read through this, and that we won't get frustrated, but that we would be excited and zealous for those things that you have for us. So I just pray that you'd bless this time. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. So chapter 13, Revelation, little 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." It's become a preoccupation, I think, of many believers to try and figure out who will be the Antichrist. And it's often asked of me as a pastor. I'm sure that you've been asked, and you get into Christian circles, and, you know, can he be alive? And this, that. I believe there is absolutely no doubt that he is alive today. And even today, there are many Antichrists, because we talked about it. Anti can mean against or in place of. There are many who are against Christ, and they are anti-Christ. Some of them are in the forefront. Some of them are what I'm looking for. They're in Hollywood or in music. You know, they're personalities that many are drawn to. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." And so there are many who are against Christ, but there is going to be one who comes in place of Christ, and that will be the final Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 4, John said this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Very important today with what is going on and what you are being told and the things that are being espoused in the name of the church, the things that are being said against the church, all of these things. Very important that you test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." I was looking through this thing, and it was a list of pictures, and I didn't get through the whole thing, but the carrot was a likeness of the picture of Jesus, and how historians are starting to doubt that some of these certain people ever existed. And of course, in today's cancel culture, one of the things that they're certainly going to want to cancel is the fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm telling you, they're going to do everything they can to cancel Jesus Christ and the fact that he came and that he lived and that he taught and that he loved and that he gave his life. And so you're seeing that starting to happen just crazy stuff that's being touted by the people. There's many cults, there's false religions today that even claim to be Christian or for Christ, but they have changed their definitions of who he is. Or they have substituted their own special revelation for what has already been revealed. I know that there are things out there being taught that Jesus wasn't a Jew, he was a Palestinian, you know, because the land was called Palestine. But the veracity of the scripture tells us in Matthew and in Luke that his genealogy was absolutely Jewish. But there's all kinds of stuff that's being thrown around out there, and we need to test the spirits. We need to know what is true and what is not true. But you have Book of Mormon, Watchtower, many other crazy things going on out there. Many claim to have a special anointing. When you hear this, be very careful at places where the anointing's being thrown all over the place. And there's anointings in it, you know, come here for the anointing, and I'm anointed, and I'm, you know, and you can't pass on the anointing. I'm trying to think of his name now. It's been a while since I've talked about him, but Jacob Prosh, he did a teaching on it, and you need to understand something. Your anointing is your anointing. You can't pass it to anybody else. If God is going to anoint somebody else, he will anoint them. It's not through you. And so, but you have all these wacky anointing things going on all over the place. Come and, oh, the anointing. And, you know, it's just, be very wary of those things. Because Jesus Christ means the anointed, or Christ means the anointed one, and only Jesus Christ, we are told, has been anointed with the oil of gladness above thy companions. In Psalm 45:7, it says that. John tells us, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. All of God's children are anointed. The word is krio, chrio. It's rubbed with oil and consecrated to service. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. 22, verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Our anointing as Christians is being given the Holy Spirit as the guarantee, the guarantor of eternity and God's truth and the work that Christ did on the cross and the promise of the Father, all of those things. We are anointed or set apart, but only Christ has a special anointing. It's easy to identify Antichrist outside of the church, and even those who substitute their own doctrine of Christ for the biblical one, they're easily exposed. You know, I talk to I watch some of the televangelists and some of the stuff. Sometimes I'm watching, going, that's right on. And then they'll say something, and you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, you go, wait, what did they just say? Or they misquote a scripture or something like that. And they'll reveal themselves if you watch them long enough. But Peter warns us that many false prophets and false teachers will rise up from within the church. Although they say they believe in Jesus, they will introduce destructive heresies, causing many to follow their sensuality. Because of their false teaching, the gospels will be maligned. We see it all over the place today. Their motivation is greed, and their vehicle is exploitation of believers with false words and false religion. They claim to have a special anointing. And you need to be careful because they're going to ask you to pull out your checkbooks. They're false teachers and false prophets, according to Peter. Antichrists, according to John. Paul calls them ravenous wolves. And Jesus himself warned, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Literally, King James Version, I am Christ. Or I am, and to see, you know, the Christos, anointed, I am anointed. And that's what we see in so many Christian circles today. If you're a child of God, you're anointed. There is only one who is anointed above all others. That is Jesus, who is the Christ. There is one who will come upon the earth who will not just be an antichrist, he will be antichrist. He will be the in place of. And unfortunately, the deception going on today with special anointings and lying signs and wonders is just setting the world up to accept this antichrist who's going to come claiming the anointing or to be anointed. We're not looking for antichrist. We are eagerly awaiting Jesus Christ to come for his church. Talking to Pam beforehand, listen. Our hope is in Christ coming for his church as all of this stuff is going on. There's so much going on behind the scenes that many of you may not be aware of. And I've been researching. If you get a chance, there's a guy named J.D. Farag. He's a Calvary pastor in Hawaii. I'm going to lay some stuff down that he spends a lot of time on, but I'm going to throw some stuff out so you can see what's going on behind the scenes that are setting the stage for this Antichrist to come on the scene. We'll never know for sure who the Antichrist is, I do not believe, because he will not be revealed until, Paul told us, until the one who now restrains is taken out of the way, the one who is now at work in the church. We have talked about this. I am more and more and more convinced, and I was already 100%, and I know you can't be more than 100%. You know, being an athlete, we all used to throw this 110%, like we're special and can give more than a maximum effort. But, you know, look, the rapture of the church, there's no doubt that Revelation clearly teaches it along with 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, Jesus, Paul, now John talking about those things, and Jesus himself revealing these things. 1 John 2, verses 26 and 27, these things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. We can know and avoid the false prophets and false teachers and the antichrists of today. They have been given special authority, special anointing, new revelations, you know, and that's all they talk about. Throughout history, there have been guesses as to the Antichrist. Some believed it was Caligula, then it was Caesar Nero, who was called the Beast. Pope Gregory considered King Frederick II as Antichrist. Protestants have speculated that some of the popes, Boniface VIII or John the 22nd, were possibly the Antichrist. More recently, Hitler, Moshe Dayan, JFK, Kissinger, Mikhail Gorbachev. Everybody was wondering, Mikhail, you know, he had the poor guy had the birthmark and all of his hair receded, you know, around the time that the Omen came out, and they're looking for some 666 on a kid's head, you know. And so they're looking at this thing going, could that be the mark of the beast? There's no doubt, being a socialist or a Marxist, that he was an anti-Christ, but he was not the Antichrist. People were wondering if our last president could have possibly been the Antichrist. So, you know, with just a lot of speculation. There's too much bizarre, and it is bizarre, concerning Antichrist today. And just don't get caught up in it. I'm going to try and stay away from speculating. But we are going to talk about some things that are going on. Be caught up in Jesus Christ, for he is the only way to heaven. He is the only bringer of eternal peace, true joy, everlasting comfort. He is the only anointed one. And so verse 1, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Who is this beast? In Revelation 6, he comes riding on a white horse. He brings peace. Daniel says he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he is going to break that covenant. It will be a covenant of peace, but that peace will not last. He will have the world governing authority. When it talks about the horns speak of power. Crowns speak about governing authority. The dragon gave him the power, his throne, and great authority, and the world is going to follow him. It's, in fact, verse 7 says, it was granted to him to make war. It was granted to him. He will have a global authority, a new world order, which has been sought since the 1950s. In 1990, President H.W. Bush Sr. said, out of these troubled times, out of the Persian Gulf War, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. In 1997, Bill Clinton said, what I am trying to do to build a global system is to promote a process of reorganization of the world. These are all considering the UN Charter, and I don't know how many of you know about what the UN Charter suggests or says. On May 14, 2018, when Barack Obama was running for president, Michelle said, we are going to have to change our conversation. We're going to have to change our traditions, our history. We're going to have to move into a different place as a nation. On July 24, 2008, presidential candidate Obama supported a globalized world and said the burdens of global citizenship bind us together. October 30th, 2008, candidate Obama said we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And then October 24th, 2014, Obama issued a proclamation urging all 50 governors in the U.S. and all officials under the U.S. flag to observe UN Day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. You remember that? September 25th, 2015, the UN was presented with a document called Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Supporters called this document a new universal agenda. The word universal comes from the preamble of the document. It means this document covers the entire earth and more. It was a document that called for a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system to be established by, anybody want to guess? Not 2070, not 2080, by 2030. We're 10 years away. And when this stuff was starting to be talked about, I remember New World Order, Bush was talking about those things. Yeah, I mean, it's never going to happen. Now it's 2020. The wheels are falling off, right? 193 nation delegates unanimously approved it, applauded it. 2 days later, September 27, 2015, President Obama assured the UN of America's commitment to transforming our world, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development Goals. There's more. We need to understand what's going on. He addressed the UN and said, global integration, the merging of nations, is an agenda that transcends the narrowly defined interests of nation states. So merging nations like Mexico and the United States and Canada are now a integrated merging of nations. That's how they're looking at it. It is likely that they make up the 10 heads and the 10 crowns, because there's more than 10 nations, and we used to look at the European Union as that number 10 that would, but we know that this is a global move, and so it needs to be a global emergence. On May 28, 2014, Vice President Joe Biden told the U.S. Air Force Academy graduating class, "I believe we, and mainly you, have an incredible opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century." Basically, to shape a world government supporting the surrender of U.S. sovereignty to a world government. January 21st through 24th, 2015, a group called the World Economic Forum met in Davos, Switzerland. I've told you about them. And they agreed to speed up the development of nations, regions and nations all over the world. By 2030, the UN will be transformed into a body that can require all nations to obey the UN. The constitution of the U.S. will be irrelevant. The global law will prevail. And it is a desire of Satan for this to happen, because it's going to open the door for him to get what he always wanted. There's a lot more. You probably have heard enough. But that's about the New World Order. The goal, 2030. And so we see why things are ramping up right now. They hate our president. I'm not going to say right or wrong. I'm not going to get into that. They hate this president because he is the only world leader left standing in the way and saying, no way. We're a nation of free men and free women. And we're gonna make that the goal and the main thing here in the United States of America. And the globalists, the rest of the world, hate it, because our resources and wealth is what they desire, so that they can give it to everybody else. Basically, I mean, there's crazy, you know, the things that they plan. I mean, the Biden came out and said that he plans on retrofitting 4 million buildings with green energy, at the tune of $2 trillion. Who's paying? So do you see what's happening? But this isn't just a man. This is a world that's speaking these things. And so all we hear today is global authority, new world order, globalism, one world economy, one world governments, all in the pursuit of one thing, and they believe that it's going to bring what? Peace and prosperity. And I'm all for it, because I know what the Bible says and I know who wins. But I'm a realist, and I know that it can never happen through human governance or human endeavor. That's the frustration. They're looking in the wrong places. It can only be realized through one person, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And I'm absolutely sure of that, which will irritate all globalists who believe that world peace can only be realized with the absence of absolutes. What we see today is a truth vacuum. Not only a cancel culture, but a truth vacuum. A move to universalism. Big thing in institutions of higher learning, it's called comparative religion. All religions have a form of truth, and they will lead to God. Now this beast rises out of the sea. It's a reference, the sea is a reference to Gentile nations. In chapter 12, we saw the dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems. Here we have 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. Throughout history, Satan has, I believe, tried to bring this beast into power. He always seems to be restrained by God, but it's going to happen according to God's time frame. It will happen. It's coming. Nebuchadnezzar, Herod, Nero, Napoleon, Hitler all had characteristics of Antichrist: hatred for Jews or the church. Many have tried to reunite or bring back the Roman Empire. And I'll reiterate this because we need to understand that, you know, from Daniel's vision, we'll talk about it a little bit, but that the fourth, you know, there was the Babylonian Empire, then there came the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Grecian Empire, all a part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel said this is what it is, and then there will come another that will break all the rest of them apart. And some believe that you know, the Roman Empire died. It never died. The authority, the governing and political authority died, but it was transferred over to the church state under the papal authority. It never went away. And it's been an apostasy ever since. I'm going to be honest with you. It's been apostate ever since. Now, within the Catholic Church, I know in the history of the Catholic Church, I've read a lot about it. There have always been bishops and lay people and stuff like that who have tried to stand for truth and have been basically silenced, not allowed at the big councils where a lot of their interesting doctrines were adopted, papal authority and apostolic succession and all those things. There were men of God, godly men who knew the Word of God, that stood against those things, and they were threatened, told not to come and different things. So there has been truth in that system throughout history, but it's been governed by a church state, politically motivated and monetarily motivated. So, and the Pope today is a globalist. He is a secular humanist. He's boldly come out and suggested those things. Just so you know, I mean, I'm not talking against anything. He has exposed himself and who he is and what he really believes. And so he's lockstep in what's going on today. Chapter 13, here we see a world leader that emerges, and he is going to be given authority. Some believe by 10 nations, and I talked about that. The European Union began 10 nations. It went up 30. You know, and then we had Brexit, and they're all fighting amongst themselves, and who should have what, so who knows. But after referring, you know, often some refer to it as the EU, but then you have the Mideast, Mideast Coalition, and we talk about Ahmadinejad that talked about the Mideast Coalition and the European Union if they were to come together. Basically, you have the, what is that called? The territory that made up the Holy Roman Empire, if they were to do that. So it's kind of wild. And that Ahmadinejad would come up with something like that, right? That was a while ago. But then you had China, you have Russia, China, Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Australia, and the islands of the Australian area, and then Greenland, Iceland would make up 10 regions, very possible. And they're trying to make them regional, so don't know. We'll see, but they're going to give him power. From Daniel 7, we know the beast is the little horn. Daniel tells us this little horn will be supported by three other horns that will overtake the other seven horns, giving him total global authority. Already at work in the UN, it's all being worked out, no doubt. And it says in verse 2, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, his great authority." And so now, you know, Daniel, in interpreting the vision, started with the lion, which was Babylon, the bear, which was Medo-Persia, and then the leopard, which was Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. It's in reverse that John is seeing it, but it's going to be like those things. It's going to have all of the aspects, the wide-ranging authority. I mean, those were great conquering nations. Alexander had nothing left to conquer at the age of 33, and on a rainy night, drunken, got pneumonia, you know, drunken and sad, basically disappointed that there was nothing left for him to do. At the age of 33, they believe he drank himself to death or got pneumonia because he was exposed. 33 years old, he had conquered the known world. So there will be this world conquering understand. The dragon gave him his power of stone and great authority. Scholars historically believe this to be a further explanation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But this dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, the fourth one, the Roman Empire, believed this Roman Empire never died. It just faded out for a while. But as I already explained, it never really died. It's going to resurface during the Great Tribulation. Problem is, Daniel 7:17 says, those great beasts which are four are four kings which rise out of the earth. In verse 8, it was different from all the beasts that were before it. The Hebrew for before does not suggest a chronological succession, but a positional succession. So it's evident that this is speaking of future kingdoms, one of which is going to be greater than the rest. And he is like a leopard, a bear, a lion, and the dragon is going to give him the authority and the power. How that all works out, I don't know. We know that there's a lot of pieces and parts that are aligning in the Middle East and with the nations that are talked about in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But when Satan, when he was in the desert with Jesus, he showed, remember Jesus, all the kingdoms of the earth, said, worship me and I will give this to you. And his response was what? Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, in him only shall you serve. What's going to happen is this Antichrist, this in place of Christ, is going to accept the offer because Satan still has that authority. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of the earth. Jesus said he was for a time. And he's going to offer the Antichrist all of the kingdoms of the earth. And because he is the counterfeit, he is going to take the offer. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. His deadly wound was healed. All the world marveled and followed the beast. And we know that, he's a counterfeiter. Verse 12 and verse 14 read, and they reiterate that he receives a deadly wound from which he is healed. Zechariah 11:17 says, woe to the worthless shepherd, that is the idol, the one who sets himself up for worship. Who leaves the flock, a sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither and his right eye shall be totally blinded. He's going to counterfeit the resurrected Christ. And even, we know the first three and a half years, there are going to be two prophets that are going to ultimately be killed and then raised up after 3 days. And he's going to try and overcome that with his own resurrection-like event. There's only one resurrected Christ, and he's the Son of our Heavenly Father that came to die for our sins. The world wants somebody to heal their material and earthly woes. There's a fascination today with the supposed movement of the Spirit where people are being raised from the dead in large numbers. I'm going to tell you right now, it's one of the big things of Bethel, Reading. That pastor travels around and claims that there's all kinds of miracles going on and people are being raised from the dead. One of them was and I call it the Greater Miracles Than Jesus movement, because they've completely mashed that scripture all up and the understanding of what it is. But there were supposedly 16 flood victims reported raised from the dead in Brazil. It turned out to be a fabrication. Most of these things are fabrications. They're just to excite and the flesh to a great extent. So you had all these different things, the signs and wonders movement. When you get into it, it's burned the fuse is burned on that to a great extent. But the stage is being set for this duo to come on the scene. Some are going to hear this and say, you're going to think that I don't believe God can raise from the dead. I absolutely do. Elijah, Jesus, Peter with Dorcas. And I absolutely believe that if that's what he wants to do, he can even do it today. He's the creator of all things. But I will say this, if I die, don't pray for me, just rejoice for me. Because, right? Don't bring me back. Lazarus was bummed out. That's why I think Jesus cried, because he knew that he had to bring him back from eternity and and glory in heaven. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the war, I believe. There's going to be a war coming. Ezekiel 38, 39, it's going to shake the world. It's going to bring the rise of a leader who can bring peace. Why do you think still today Israel has to keep its eye on Iran? Iran has moved in through this whole, all these shenanigans in Syria, and is settling on the Gaza Strip and in what's right just north of Lebanon. They know that there are weapon storages all throughout Lebanon. Russia is in Syria. Egypt, Libya, Syria, other Arab countries are all being overtaken by the Muslim Brotherhood. They've been going on. That's the Arab Spring that our last president was so proud of. Putin no longer needs to be reelected. He now has been declared as basically the president of Russia eternal. He doesn't have, they're not going to vote, they don't need to vote for him anymore. He is just going to be the leader of Russia. And Turkey is no longer, we talk about this neutral country. In fact, Turkey is starting to flex its own authority over the Temple Mount and what goes on there, because they don't think Jordan is doing a good enough job, and Israel's being allowed way too much latitude for their liking. He believes that he is going to basically raise up the old, now I can't remember the kingdom of, was, huh? The Ottoman Empire. He believes that he is one of the sultans reborn. The world banking system wants one currency, wants one economy. We see a move to a world religious system, you know, all this different stuff. And the world is going to be in awe of this ruler. But we don't need to be. And in verse 5 says, and he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, so for 3.5 years. Daniel 9, 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In the middle of the week, that's 7 years, he shall bring to an end the sacrifice of offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be the one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And you may, you know, wonder why this is going to be allowed, because we know this, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusions, that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's because they do not love or believe Jesus. It's going to happen. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Underline verse 9. And this is why I'm going to tell you, more and more, as you read through Revelation, it is set up so that you understand the church has already been removed. The church and the dispensation of grace. Because in talking to the churches, it said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But here, during this time of tribulation, it's after, we believe, the rapture of the churches, he's no longer speaking to the churches. He's speaking to those who will become tribulation saints. And those who are in the tribulation, he who has an ear, let him hear. But not what the Spirit says to the churches. Because the Spirit is at work now with the children of Israel. you struggle with the idea or the thought of the rapture, it's okay. I'd rather be wrong and ready than not wrong, right and not ready. Does that make sense? It's okay, man. I'm waiting for Jesus to come get his church. And if that's not his plan, that's okay. I believe it is. But there's a lot of people that aren't prepared for him to take his church to the wedding supper of the Lamb for the 7 years of tribulation. And they're going to be like the five unwise virgins who did not have oil for their lamp. And when the bridegroom came and declared the wedding was happening, the five who were wise, who had oil for the lamps, the five that were unwise said, "Give us oil. We don't have any oil for our lamps." And they said, "No, I'm sorry. You should have been prepared," basically. But it's not the church, believers, during the Great Tribulation. And it cannot be the church, because this is another evidence. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And it's interesting, but this will be a time when Satan's going to see some success because the church is out of the way. Write this down somewhere. It is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world is basically what the Lord is saying. And the Lamb the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8, "The beast that you saw was and is not will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." Peter wrote this in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time you stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." And the world's going to wonder, who's like the beast? But this is what we need to consider. Who is like Jesus? Who's like Jesus? We get caught up in these things. Antichrist, what's Satan do? This, everything. Look, let's focus on Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, who being born in the form of God, or who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And, we need our eyes and our eyes and ears need to be open to him. And I know it's easy because it happens to me daily, even in preparing for this. And I was going to go, I was going to try and do all 13. I don't think we can. Next part is the false prophet. I do want to, are we there yet? Why masks? Anybody asking, why masks? It says, I'm just going to kind of give you an idea of what they're doing. Throw a couple things out there for thought. We know what they desire by 2030. a one world order, one world religion, one world government. That's their desire. They're trying to prepare unwittingly, and I think that most of them unwittingly think that they're doing what's right and what's best for mankind, but what they're doing is they're just being used by Satan to bring about his day. It says in verse 16 and 17, talking about Antichrist, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Oops, sorry. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Why mask? Now, this isn't the number of the beast. I'm not going to tell you this. This isn't the number of the beast, but it's a conditioning and a preparation for what is to come that I believe is going to revolve around medicine, and it's going to revolve around science and vaccinations ultimately, because they're already showing their hand on that. And then we talked about it a little bit with the Gates Foundation, vaccinations and the ability to magnetically tattoo that can be read. Okay? But why masks? You all realize that today every governor that has mandated that you wear a mask inside of a place of business has governed whether or not you can buy just with a mask. Do you realize that? I'm praying about it. I'm just like, because it is more. Listen, science and data. They keep science and data. There are meta studies on masks concerning viruses that are, they use the word equivocal. It means that they have no science or data that proves anything other than they don't know. And what they do know is that masks have little to no effect on viruses. In hospitals, masks are used, the N95, to stop the transmission of bacteria because it's a larger particle. And you can go out there, I'm just telling you, they don't have it, they're lying. All to force you to wear a mask. And I'm not saying that it's not right or wrong to wear a mask. If you believe the Lord's leading, hear what I'm saying. They have caused you, mandated that you cannot buy, go into a place of business, and buy unless you're wearing a mask. And if you choose to refuse and think you're going to buy, they have mandated that business owners require you to wear a mask or leave, and they have effectively threatened them by losing their license or ability to sell over mask, which is just a preparation for what is to come when the sign of the beast comes on the scene. How are they possibly going to force people to take something so that they can buy or sell? We're watching it. It's pretty simple. It's insidious. And I'm not saying this to live wantonly and to live unwisely, and I'm not suggesting there isn't a real virus and something that we need to pay attention to. But we live wisely according to God's word. God said quarantine if there is a possible infection. When the priest looks at it and says, could be, you quarantine the infected person. You clean, and then if it's determined that it is, you clean everything in the house and everything about that person until they're healed or it looks like it's going to last for the rest of their lives. You don't quarantine the healthy people, but they did it. Now they've got us over a barrel on masks. Wise wisdom says you quarantine the sick, you observe them. If they're healed or it passes, then there is the ritual of cleansing and you accept them back into society. So there is cleanliness and distance. Those are biblical. They had cloth. They had sheepskin. They had all kinds of stuff. And God never told the children of Israel and wear a mask. Because God, who created all things, knows that a mask can't stop a microparticle. So, and you know, and I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm just telling you what they know and what they don't know. Listen, there is no, and I told you what was going to happen. Moderna is going to be the one that's going to come out with the vaccination, because Moderna is the one that is backed by Bill Gates. Bill Gates was already planning this back in October 18th of 2019, along with St. John Hopkins, Johnson & Johnson, all these leaders, and planning on how they were going to deal with a pandemic virus. I'm telling you, this is my belief, and I don't have records, but I'm making an educated guess that Moderna was already starting their research on a vaccine for what they knew was already coming. And so now they're the leader. There's some interesting things. Bill Gates is the guy that has come out with quantum dot tattoos. He's championing that because he wants to vaccinate the whole world. And then as proof that you got the vaccination, you will get this quantum dot tattoo that not only will they be able to read, you know, wherever you go so that they know that you've been vaccinated, but it'll keep all your bank records, everything else. There's a video where he goes out and explains what Moderna is trying to accomplish. They are trying to splice information into the human genome. What they are doing is they're getting DNA and RNA to react. They're not infecting the body with the actual pathogen or the actual coronavirus itself. What they're doing is they're hacking into DNA to get it to release the antibody for the coronavirus without ever having it come into the body. So what they're doing is they're messing with human DNA. Here's it, and this is he's programming. You know, here's a computer guy who believes that they have a way to reprogram DNA, supposedly for our benefit. You need to watch J.D. Farrag. I'm going to throw this out, and this doesn't prove that it's true or not true. There was a guy, I can't remember his name, came out with a book. It's called, and it talks about the God gene. Any of you read about 8 years ago? That they believe that there is a gene that is written into every one of us. We have a form of it. There's a couple of different, there's A, B, C, or something like that. I think it's called VMAT. I'll have to get more. Watch J.D. Farrag. But anyways, they believe that they discovered a God gene that is the gene that promotes spirituality, and that we're all created to know our Creator. It's just a part of who we are as people. But they believe it. They found it in a gene. And if that's the case, and they can mess with genes and reprogram genes, how can a large population blindly accept what's going on? It's possible. I'm not saying anything, but there are things that are happening that kind of raise an eyebrow. Around the time, October 1st of 2019, it was announced, I believe, I think it went into effect, or it was brought into the programming on the day after event 201, it was October 19th, but it is, if you go and you research this, it says, in effect, October 1, 2019, ICD-10-CM X99.9, which doesn't mean anything to you, is a medical billing code that replaces ICD-9-CM. And X99.9 is a code for reimbursement for beheading, one of the ways by guillotine. This is in October 2019 that they're adding this to billing reimbursement codes for hospitals and facilities. And you go, ICD-10-CM-X99.9. It says one of the accidental beheading or beheading by guillotine. Because if you read on, I believe it's Revelation 16, 4, that they, that, you know, that, that, I'll read it to you. Then the third, sorry. No, that's that one. Okay, 20 verse. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Guillotine's probably being brought back for the tribulation period because people are going to lose their heads for not taking the mark of the beast. Let's see. CRD9, it became code 978.0. It's T50A91A is reimbursement coding for being poisoned by other bacterial vaccines. So anybody that dies, it, reimbursement for anybody that would die from accidentally being poisoned by a bacterial vaccine. There's also a movie that came out that's how they have made it so no company that comes out with vaccines can ever be sued for liability. And they've finagled their way to do that somehow. But what it says is, and here's the interesting thing, and J.D. Farag raises this thing. What, you know, they were, they still did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, pharmakia, looking to pharmaceuticals that, and probably, you know, it could be vaccinations, thefts, and those things. And so these things are still going to exist. And they're putting a lot of leverage on vaccines going into this. I mean, they think that they can live forever, I guess. I don't, I'm not sure. But when I heard a loud voice, chapter 16 of Revelation, from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went out and poured his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Now, those are the ones that took the mark of the beast and worshipped his image, but those that don't, who are in danger of losing their head, don't have these boils. It kind of gives you the picture that something is going to go awry with their sorceries, with their medicines that are going to cause people's skins to boil. Interesting, huh? I'm going to tell you, I don't care what Moderna comes out with. Here's what I know. As in the times of the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And if you read Genesis 6 and you understand exactly what was being said, when the sons of men were looking upon women, saw that they were beautiful, and they started having offspring with them, You are talking about fallen angel beings that are having offspring with human women. There was a reprogramming, basically, of DNA. It was called transhumanism. And what was created was a race that was outside of God's redemptive plan for mankind, and he flooded the earth. And he took Noah, who was perfect in his generations and perfect in his genetics, still pure, and his sons, and he started over again. As in the times of the days of Noah, when they're going to mess with genetics and they're going to start injecting people with things that are going to mess them up. God, what did Jesus say? He said, unless the days were shortened, no man would survive. He's going to have to come in again. And he's going to have to set things right, because man, in all of his wisdom, that thinks that he's going, what he's doing is going to be for the betterment of humankind, is actually going to cause God to basically come in and set things right again. That's what we're watching happen. And you know what? And you may think I'm crazy. Look, this stuff, they're being open and honest about what their plans are and what they're doing. And God has already told us what the results are going to be. So why masks? They're just preparing for the world to succumb to a one-world leader and take the mark of the beast. And at that point, there's no hope for them. There's hope now. There's hope today in Christ. You know, we can get caught up, and I have a hard time. I do. I get frustrated watching this stuff and then reading about it. And then God, we've been anointed. We know what the scriptures say. We can watch what's going on in the world and know what truly is, where it's going to all end up. And you could lose. It's easy for your hope to suffer, doesn't it? But I was talking about earlier, I believe this is a time for the church to start letting go of the things of this world. I mean, it's going to be taken from you eventually. That's their plan, all right? How soon that'll happen, I don't know. Look, man, my hope is in Christ coming for his church. His church needs to be preparing for him to come. And let's take as many as we can with us. If you have unsaved friends and loved ones and stuff, see if you can grab them. Hey, let's go out. There's a little event at this little church. Man, it'll be really cool. Ex-hippies, used to be on a bad acid trip, and God transformed him, changed his life. Maybe you need to hear that, Let's go hang out. Free food, little concert. And Mike's a little bit, he's a little out there. But he flies by the seat of the Holy Spirit, I say. I always talk about Mike McIntosh. He's a trip. But let's, we need to focus on Jesus, not what's coming necessarily, but the veracity of the Scripture is true, and we can know what's going on. And they're not hiding it anymore. They're not hiding it anymore. I don't know if Trump's going to win or not win. If he does, they're probably going to, who knows what they have planned, but the nations are raging, and we should be preparing. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening and for your word, and Lord, we know who's coming. Lord, help us to spend this time sharing with those whose hearts you've prepared, Lord, and not striving with men. You said you wouldn't strive with men forever, Lord, but sharing the good news and Lord, ushering others into eternity. That's all we're asked for to do, Lord. We know where the world's heading and what they want. We know that this wickedness, Lord, the spirit of Antichrist that's moving on the world is agitating everything. Lord, just pray that you just help us not to have our eyes on the things of this world, but looking up, for our redemption draws nigh. Lord, you're coming soon. Help us to rejoice in that, Lord. We just pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.